Take your Bibles tonight, turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Last week we finished John chapter 5, verses 24 through 47. We talked about the witness of Christ and that Christ is testifying of His deity, which is the main point of the Gospel of John. In verses 24 through 30, we see the commission of Christ as He says it. We need to do the conditions for everlasting life, to hear the Word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need to believe on the Word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. We need to understand that when you believe on Him, you have everlasting life. It's not something you work for. It's not something to be taken away. You have it, and it's not going to ever be taken away from you. We have our sin judged. We are justified in front of God. Our sins were put on the cross with Christ there. And His blood covers us. And then we have been quickened. We need to live as lively stones, as a royal priesthood, and not be dead people. So that is the commission of Christ, is to bring everlasting life. That was the purpose. Then He talked about the certainty of future resurrection. Christ is the resurrection for the spiritually dead. And then there was Christ is the judge, because all power is going to be given to Him. All judgment is going to be given to Him. And we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that's one last thing that's got to happen. One last thing that's got to happen. There is a certainty of future generation, of future resurrection in verses 25 through 30. The consequence of the resurrection is that all will hear. That the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Christ to the glory of the Father. There are two resurrections determined. You get born twice, you die once. If you know Christ, you'll be part of that first resurrection, which is a continual thing. It's the rapture and then the resurrection of the Old Testament saints along with that, and then also the tribulation saints at the end of the tribulation period. That's the resurrection of life. Then there's the resurrection of damnation, which is the white throne judgment that believers will not go through. That's for the dead, the lost dead. If you get born once, you die twice. You die a physical death, that starts your eternal separation from God, and then you have the second death, which is absolute obliteration and rejection of you by God, and in darkness in the lake of fire. And this is all commanded by God. In verses 31 through 39, we see the confirmation of Christ's witness. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15 says you have to have two or three witnesses to confirm something. A witness by yourself doesn't do anything. So Christ had four of these. Confirmed by God the Father. Confirmed by John the Baptist. Confirmed by the works that He was doing. Only God could do those things. And then confirmed by the Scriptures. And basically He says it's the voice that you do not hear, and it's the verses that you do not heed. And so there's the confirmation of Christ's witness. In verses 40 through 47, we see the conflict with Christ by the religious. They were Abraham's seed. They were going to get to heaven based on their heritage. No, they weren't. They're lost. Christ said that they were that they were the child of hell. And so basically, when you reject Christ, your decision is hell. That is your eternity. You have the wrath of God abiding on you right now unless you change. And then in verses 41 through 47, your denial is hatred because you do not have the love of God. You do not believe anyone else. You'll believe anyone else except Christ. And isn't that the case today? They'll believe any lie except the truth. And then lastly, is you don't even believe Moses, because Moses testified of Christ. And then we close with the verse about Christ walking with the two on the road to Emmaus. And beginning at what? Moses. He expounded all the things concerning Himself. And they were so excited. So did our hearts not burn within us when we heard this truth? So that was the witness of Christ. Tonight, we're going to look at test of faith. We're going to be looking at John chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. It's a long chapter. We'll be in here a couple of weeks. So the issue is tonight is that faith must be tried. If faith doesn't understand trial or go through trials, it's not faith in the first place. And faith is born out of trials. Faith is born out of a necessity to endure something. So, three tests of faith tonight. In verses 1 through 4, we need to have finding faith to follow. The first thing about faith is you need to find it. And in verse 1, you need to understand, you need to know where Jesus is. In verse 1, it says, after these things, what things? Well, it's not chronological. There are periods of months between the end of chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6. Because in chapter 6, the Passover is nigh. Chapter 5 is the Feast of Tabernacles. There's two different things here. So there's months in here. So there's other things that happen. But we don't need to know those. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. He is on the east coast, or the northeast coast of the Sea of Galilee, in this account that we have right now. So, this is where Jesus is, and that's where people who follow him need to be. You can't find Jesus if you're absent from him. And we need to understand what Isaiah 55 verse 6 says. Seek ye the Lord while he may be what? Found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Romans chapter 1 says, you keep on rejecting Christ, you will have a reprobate mind where you won't care. And you don't care anymore. So the first issue about faith, the first test of faith is you got to go. You need to know where Jesus is. Because if you don't know Jesus, you have no faith. You have no faith. Secondly, in verse 2, you need to know what Jesus can do. It says, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Boy, wouldn't it be great not to go to the doctor anymore? Would it be great not to have any aches and pains and everything? Boy, people saw this and they saw that all these diseases were being cured. And he was getting a large crowd, a large following here. And so, you know why? Because the Bible says he needed to do it. Isaiah 61 verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So in order to find faith, you need to know where Jesus is. In order to find faith, you need to know what Jesus can do. And some people say, well, he's good enough for them, but he's not good enough for me. He's good enough for all of us. You don't make your faith decision based on someone else. You make your faith decision based on what you know about Jesus and what you need from him. And we all need eternal life. Verses 3 and 4, we need to go where Jesus goes. This stuff about I'm saved but I'm never going to go to church. How can you prove that to me? I'm saved but I'll never read my Bible. How can you prove that to me? You need to be where Jesus is. Faith is not absent. It's not absence in God's house. It's not absence with God's people. It's not absence from God's presence. You can't do that. In verses 3 and 4, and Jesus went up into a mountain. And there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. It wasn't there, because if it was Passover, where would Jesus be? In Jerusalem. So this is it's approaching. Some people say, well, he's doing Passover because of this bread. No, he's not. He's not in Jerusalem. He's got to keep the feast laws. And so, finding faith to follow, you need to know who Jesus is. You need to know what he can do. And you need to go where Jesus goes. You can't go your own way. In Mark chapter 6, verses 33 to 34, let's tie this together, because this next miracle is told in every gospel. It says, and the people saw them departing. What? Going up to the mountain. And many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities, out with them, and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. But he that have ears to hear, let him what? Hear. So in Mark chapter 6 is the parallel account of what's going on here. So you need to find faith to follow. That's a test in itself. You got to give up what you're trusting in for faith and put it in the right person, which is Jesus. Verses 5 through 15, we see a very familiar story. And there's an object lesson in here, but it's about faith. And so the second point is finding faith when famished. Finding faith when famished. Famished means you're what? Hungry. Okay? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. So there's a problem. Christ is on this mountain. The disciples are on this mountain. Large crowds running out of every city. The impression of reading the Bible is that these people left everything behind so they could go through. So they didn't eat lunch, and they didn't eat breakfast, and they didn't eat supper because they wanted, or dinner, they wanted to get to Jesus. So now, in verses 5 and 6, we see a problem. Adversity, finding faith when famished, adversity should get your attention. Adversity should get your attention. We talked about circumstances driving us to God. Well, if you go and look in the Mark account, the disciples come to Jesus and says, send this crowd away so they could go downtown, they could go to Walmart, and they could get food. Send them all away because we don't have anything fixed for them. But that's what's going on here. In verses 5 and 6, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw what? Great company. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep that were scattered without a shepherd. He said to Philip. Now, Philip doesn't talk much, but he gives Philip a test here. And basically says, what are we going to do about this? Okay? What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about all this crowd? Because when they come up to him in Mark, and they say, send them all away. Jesus says this, give them something to eat. Now that's a problem. They don't have anything. Okay? And so he saith to Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to what? Prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Christ had this all figured out before they even came to him. And he says, this is going to be your object lesson. This is going to be your issue, your adversity for faith. This is going to be a test for you all on doing this. So you know, when we get a problem, what's the first thing we try to do? We try to solve it ourselves. And in verse 7, assets are insufficient without faith. So what does Philip answer? He answers it. He says, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, a pennyworth was one day's wages. And most Bible scholars say that they probably only had about 200 denarii with them in the bag. Remember, they took up collections and they had stuff in that. So they said, we don't have enough stuff, Lord. Christ says, give them something to eat. And Philip's immediate answer is, we don't have enough money. Because that's how we solve problems. We throw money at it, right? Government throws money at stuff and never gets fixed. So what's this answer? Throw more money at it. That doesn't fix education. That doesn't fix what's going on. That doesn't fix infrastructure, throwing more money. Got to do something about it. And so Christ asked Philip, he says, okay, I got a question for you. How are we going to feed? How are we going to feed all these people? And he said, well, we don't have the money for it. Now, so adversity should get your attention. Verse 7, assets are insufficient without faith. Your bank account won't do anything for God unless you have faith to go with it. Maybe God will bless you with a check in the mailbox. We've had that happen. Just don't know what's going to happen. The check comes that you didn't expect. Ever have that happen to you? Yeah. Remember the sovereignty of God. He knew what he was going to do. But he just wanted the disciples to get on board here. Secondly, accruing is ineffective without faith. Getting stuff that might fix the problem won't work either. Now, Andrew, once again, we don't hear from Andrew, but we do know when the Greeks come to Philip and Andrew and they ask where you see Jesus, they bring him to him. But in verses 8 and 9, it says, now one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. So we found some stuff, but there's no way it can solve the problem. We have some money, but there's no way to solve the problem. Folks, faith goes beyond what you have. And so they have a problem of assets. They don't have enough. Okay? They have a problem of, they have some food, but it's just one guy's lunch. And there's 5,000 men. Most people think there's at least 15,000 in this crowd. This big multitude around the mountain. And it's too small. But what are they among so many? So what do we have here? What has Jesus confronted them with? A problem that they cannot solve themselves. Okay? What does God want us to do with faith? He's going to give us problems that we can't solve ourselves. If we can solve it ourselves, there's no faith involved. We're doing it our way. We got to trust in God, which means you got to go beyond yourself. Beyond yourself. So assets are insufficient. Accruing is ineffective. And the issue about faith is, well, you could sit there and say, well, we don't have any money, we don't have any food, so that's it, we're done. And a lot of people think like that. Action is necessary to see faith work. Action is necessary to see faith work. On one side, Andrew did a good thing. He went around, he found something, but it wasn't anywhere close to what was needed. Verse 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was as much grass in this place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. In the parallel scripture in Mark chapter 6, verses 39 through 40, he says, have them sit down by companies. Basically, he was segregating them into groups of different types of people. And he says, set them down in 50s, set them down in hundreds. But what we have here on the mountainside is we have a whole bunch of different groups of people. They're all going to be blessed. They're all going to need faith. Faith is universal. Oh, by the way, who needs to exercise faith in a family? The father needs to do it. The husband needs it. The man in the house needs to do it. So have the men sit down, because when the men sit down, guess what? The family sit down. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 says this. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being what? Mixed with faith or action in them that heard it. Why were all these people out there? They weren't necessarily out there to hear the gospel. They were out there to see their diseases healed. They were out there out of curiosity, not out of conviction. So there's a problem. They're famished. They're spiritually hungry, but they don't know it yet. Okay? Problems in our lives kind of reveal our spiritual appetite. So, action is necessary to see faith work. Verse 11. This is a lesson in faith. Allowing Christ to work with what you have is essential. Well, I just don't have anything to bring to the church. I don't have anything to... Everybody that's saved has something to offer to the body of Christ. Everybody that's saved has something to offer to further the kingdom of heaven. Everybody ought to get involved. Everybody has to have faith. It's not about assets. It's not about accruing things. It's about letting God use what you have. Amen. Verse 11. We know the story. Kids know the story. Jesus took the loaves. Well, first, who grew the barley for the cakes? God did. Who made those fish in the water? God did. He's the creator of all things. All things consist in Colossians. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the what? The disciples. He says, you got to get involved in this work. Right. Folks, we need to get involved in the work of faith. Bring what you have to God, give it to Him, and believe He can do something with it. And then go forward with it. And the disciples to them, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much. It wasn't rationed. As much as they want. As much as they wanted. Folks, the issue about faith is you can have as much faith as you want. And you still need more faith. You can have as much blessing of God as you want. And there's still more room. Pressed down, overflowing. Shaken together and overflowing. So allowing Christ to work with what you have is essential. It's the fifth point. The sixth point. Abundance is available through faith. What was the problem of 200 penny worth? It's only going to be a little bit. What was the problem of the five loaves and two fishes? It's just going to get a little piece. I got a fin. Oh, I'm happy. I got a fin. I got a crumb. God doesn't want you to live on crumbs. God doesn't want you to live on a fin. Verse 12 and 13. When they were what? Filled. They had their appetite satisfied as much as they wanted. He said unto his disciples, now, you thought that was good? Watch this. Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be what? Lost. God doesn't want to lose anything. You don't want to lose blessing, right? Don't want to lose faith, right? Don't want to lose any of that stuff. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now, I think the obvious parallel is there was a basket for what? Each of the disciples. I said, this is who I am. I'm the creator. So little is much when God is in it. And if you think we didn't have any food, look at this. And we have more left over. and everybody was filled. And there's still faith to spare. There's still blessing to spare. All those different groups of people got satisfied because God ministers to everybody. So what's it all mean? Acknowledgement of what happened in your life, you need to acknowledge that God's worked. And it's not because you deserved it. It's not because you earned it. Not because you're the right skin color. Not because of that. Everybody got blessed. Everybody got filled. Acknowledgement should result from faith. When you act in faith, you'll see God work. If you never see God work in your life, you're not living a life of faith. You may not know who He is. In order to know what faith is, you need to know where He is, what He can do, and where He's at. So what did they think? These curiosity seekers. Not what you think. Verse 14 says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did. What was the miracle? All those people were fed. Said. And I think you need to look very closely at the wording in here. This is of a truth. We can't deny what we see with our own eyes. Something special has happened then. And we beheld Him, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Christ is going to say in John 14, I am the way, not a truth, but the truth. He embodies truth. This is not talking about what God does. It's about who Christ is. This is of a truth that what? Prophet should come into the world. They weren't looking for a prophesied Messiah. They were looking for a Messiah that could meet their physical needs, that could cure them, that could feed them, that could take care of them, so they could be lazy. It's not what you think. It's not what you want. It's something different. Verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force to make Him a what? King. They weren't interested in a prophesied Messiah. They were interested in a political one. Christians should be involved in the administration and citizenship of their country. But politics and God. God has no use for politics. You know why? He owns it all. He controls the king's heart. He does all those things. He's sovereign over all. Politics is not a way to get to God. To make Him a king, what did Christ do? He left. Okay? He just revealed to them what they are. And that's the choice that God gives us. He reveals to us who we are, and we've got to deal with it. We've got to deal with it. He departed into a what? A mountain, Himself alone. He's given His disciples something to mull on. He's given the crowd something to mull on. He said, you need to think about this. You need to come to a conclusion who I am. What just happened here? And folks, when God takes you through something that's dramatic, something you don't have the assets for, something you don't have the ability to solve, we need to sit back and think about that and meditate on that and figure out what God did for us and give Him the glory. And give Him the glory. So that's the second lesson. and faith. The third point, finding faith when fatigued. How many times have we given up on a project, worked so hard on a project, and so tired of it, said, I'm done with it! Get it away! I don't want to see it anymore. I don't want to see it. I'm done. Okay? So where is Christ right now? He's up on the mountain by himself. The other gospel says he tells his disciples to go across the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum. Okay? So the disciples go down the mountain, they go to the seashore, they get a ship, and they start traveling. Finding faith when fatigued is hard, especially when it's late and you're lonely. So what happens? Verses 16 through 17, it says, and when evening was come, now come. Now think about this. They've been up all day. They heard him preach. They had a hillside fellowship, all this food. Obviously, there was some sort of thing going on about making king because Jesus knew and he's left. So now, okay, we got to go where Jesus tells us. Pretty late in the day, maybe we need to hold up in a hotel. No, they go exactly where God tells them to. His disciples went down into the unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And now it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. We'll see a verse here in a minute. When this all happens, it's dark. So now, they're in the dark. They're all alone. They're going to Capernaum. Jesus is not with them. Okay? So it's late at night. They're lonely. And they're languishing in effort. They're putting all this effort in, and they're getting little forward progress. In verses 18 to 19, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Now here's some topography. The Sea of Galilee is 700 feet below sea level. The mountains that are on the north shore are about 3,000 feet elevation. And they were pretty rugged. What does cold air do? Cold air sinks. It's cooler up on the mountain than down in the valley. And so wind would come down the hillside and go into the Sea of Galilee because there's a natural basin and cause these storms. Okay? And the sea arose by a reason of a great wind that blew. But who's in charge of the wind? God is. He knew what was going on here. He may be up on the mountain by himself, but he knows exactly what they're going to go through. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, I'll put that in math, 3.5 miles. The Sea of Galilee is about 7 miles across. So here they are, right in the middle of the dark, in the middle of a wind, and they're getting nowhere. They're getting nowhere. Row about 5 or 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. In Mark 6, verse 48, it says, and he saw them toiling in rowing. God knows exactly the effort you're putting out in this. For the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. This has not been a good... It's been a long day for them. About the fourth watch of the night, he cometh to them, walking upon the sea, and what? Would have passed by them. He's making good time. Now, he suspended the law of gravity. some theologians, some literal theologians, well, he was just walking on the seashore. No, he wasn't. He was walking on the water. You know why? Because the Bible said he was. That's all you need. He's God. He can do what he wants to do. And he's rowing, and they're rowing so hard, and Jesus would do what? He could just walk right on by. Folks, here's the point. Sometimes we could be so late and so lonely and so involved in our own effort that Jesus could walk right by and we don't even notice. That's the application here. We need to be looking for him. You don't need to know who he is, what he can do, where you can find him. Now, how many of you have ever seen anybody walk on water? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of them have ever seen anybody walk on water? Zero. So here they see something that they've never seen before. And when you have something that you've never seen before, and you can't explain it, what do you do? You get scared. You get scared. Now the gospel say it's a ghost, it's a spirit. It can't possibly be Jesus because no one walks on the water. Finding faith with fatigue is when limited by fear. You got to get over that. So they were late. It was late. It was lonely. They were tired. They were working. They were getting nowhere. And then they see Jesus. And they're scared out of the gourd. Verse 20 says, "But he saith unto them, it's I. Be not afraid." You know, every time that Jesus or an angel comes to someone and they get scared about it, he says, what? Fear not. Jesus said to his disciples, fear not, little flock. Fear not. Fear not. The good thing was you were going where I told you to go. You're finding out that you can't get there on your own. And you need my help. Not just another person to put in the boat to start rowing some more. Faith will get you to where God wants you to be. Now, there's another miracle in this verse. So, what could have happened? They could have been scared out of their gourd, all jumped over the ship and drowned off the ship. What could have happened? Just absolutely denied, not even looking. Jesus just walked right on by. But what did they do? Then they willingly received him into the ship. Let God come into your life when you're tired. Let God come into your life when you're lonely. Let God come into your life when you're working so hard and nothing's happening. Let God come into your life when you can't believe what you see. Let God come into your life. What did God tell them to do? Go to Capernaum. Look at the next phrase. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Better than Star Trek. We'll just beam over there. We'll be transported over there. Look, God's already translated Enoch and Elijah. He's already got this down. This moving things through space, nothing for him. Is there anything too hard for him? No. But look at this. As soon as they let Jesus into the ship, they were at the place that God wanted them to be at. Think of that. As soon as he was in the ship, they willingly brought him in, and it says that immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. See, we miss so much because we don't have the faith to allow God to work. Some of us are still out there looking for it. You need to find it tonight. Some of us are spiritually hungry, and we need to go and hunger after righteousness and hunger after this, because you'll find it. Some of us are just so enwrapped and enamored with what we're doing that we don't look at the spiritual side of it, and Jesus could walk right on by. But if you let him in your life, you'll get to where God wants you to be. So tonight, have you found faith? Have you found faith in God? Do you know him as your Savior? Do you allow him to feed you? To take you where you need to go? That's the point of tonight's lesson. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time, Lord. I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts, Lord. And help us, Lord, to have faith. Increase our faith. As some say in the Bible, that we will follow you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, we love you and we give you this time. Let your Holy Spirit have full reign at this time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.